Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It is Sinaj with Waymaker. He is indeed a promise keeper. That which he said he will do, he certainly will actually, bring it to pass. And that's one thing I have proven of my God. I don't know about you. A very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. A big, big thanks to Dwimini Johan Els for holding it together right up until this hour. It's always so beautiful to be ushered by him with such, an excited voice. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much. And like he said, straight after me will be Dwayne Van Rensburg. Nonetheless, we start today on a very, very high note. And I must say, this is a challenge for you to take reading even more seriously. Last week, my sister shared another one with me, and I thought, I haven't done it in so long. So when I flew out on Thursday to KZN, I literally sat on the aircraft and I read that book. And so I'm encouraging you to read today. With that having been said, on the line, I've got Mashudu J.M. Rabengani, who's a best-selling author of Unleashing the Marriage Potential. So I'm telling you now, this gentleman is all things love. Good afternoon, Mashudu, and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you.
I see you are always in the spirit of love and connections. there's just something you found in that area of love, be it dating, be it marriage. You just found something in love, something worth beholding.
And also, it is also very interesting that my journey into issues around marriage and talking about marriage issues started at Radio Pulpit.
Already?
Many years ago. Yes. I used to have a show many years ago, 2006, 2007, I think, way back then.
I was still in high school. So it's pretty much... Say that again.
Trying to tell me that I'm probably fossil.
Of course. So it's kind of like a full circle because it's come back right here. And I think I appreciate that so much. If you're able to come back where your beginning was, it's really, really beautiful to, I love being the one to sit here and have this conversation, again with you to say, hey, how far are you in this journey? Now, let's talk about your book, Mashudu. You released a book entitled What You Need to Know Before You Start Dating. Let me commend you first of all. This is very brave of you, especially in the Christian space, because everybody's like, but look, I want you to basically, before we do anything, remind us of who you are, and we get into this book, because I'm really curious as to what it's about and who exactly it speaks to. So maybe let's start here. Who exactly is Mashudu? And maybe give us a bit of a background into this writing hobby or career of yours, whatever you decide to term it.
It's a good question. Who am I? I run a ministry called Living Power, which is focused on issues of relationship, marriage, parenting, all issues around the family. It is what I focus on. And with that, I have spoken in 4 continents.
Sure.
And probably every country in the SADC, from Angola to Madagascar, speaking on issues around family. As I said, we started off back then with Lucky Mbiko when he was still there in the station. Mm. And the message around the relationship and family grew from that time. And at this stage, I have written 7 books. This is book number 8.
So you heard me earlier saying to you, is this your second book? And you're thinking, this girl, I've been at this writing thing.
In fact, and in two months, I'll be releasing another book.
What?
But coming back to this particular book, I will say that it is a product of many years of experience. So if you think about, I'm a marriage counselor, I'm a marriage officer. Apart from doing seminars, I do counseling, people with the relationship problems, premarital counseling. So we realize many of the challenges that we are having in marriage, and what we try to do, what I'm trying to do in this book is to do like reverse engineering, to say, how do we prevent the challenges that we have already seen in marriage? Mm. How do we get those who are entering marriage better prepared to enter marriage so that they can avoid probably many of the challenges that the others have experienced? Mm. It was Benjamin Franklin who said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail.
Yep.
So in reality, there's been a lot of excitement, particularly among our young people, about getting married or being in a relationship. But we fail to get ourselves ready, even to start looking for someone. And preparation is key. Mm. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, if you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'll spend 4 hours sharpening the axe.
Sure.
And so this particular book is trying to help us to sharpen the axe before we get into the field. When you read in the Bible, I think it is Jeremiah 6, verse 16, where the Bible says, stand in the crossroads and ask.
Okay.
For which one is of the old path, which one is a good one, and then walk in it. So it is this issue that we're trying to say to young people, before you jump into marriage, do what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6:16, to say, stand in the crossroads and see. See what is happening in the marriages today. See what is happening in relationship today. And then ask of the old path. You know, which one is a good way? Because nothing is new under the sun. The same hormones, the same excitement that young people have today has been running for thousands of years before.
Mm.
So this book, while it is not just focused on just young people, it's focused on anyone who wants to enter marriage, because you will find when you go deeper into the book, we talk about dating a single mother, issues of dating a single dad, what are the things that you must look into, what are the issues that you must be prepared to address before. Because sometimes people just are excited about getting married, but maybe somebody has got 2 children, 3 children, what are the things that you need to be aware of? What are the things that you prepare yourself, particularly if you've never been a parent? So from the first day you get married, you're not just a spouse, you're also a step-parent.
Mm.
What are the things that you must look at? How do you get yourself ready? So what we have done here, it's not like a dating book. We're actually going beyond dating.
Mm.
You will find when you get to the book, a dating is just one chapter. Because what we are trying to say is that, how do you holistically prepare yourself for such a relationship? We address issues like, what is love? What do you mean when somebody says, I love you? You know, somebody once said, love is a feeling that you feel when you get a feeling that you've never felt before. No, love is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It is a principle. It's a decision taken intelligently based on available facts. So, and there is a thing that you need to have. When you say to me, I love him or I love her, I ask you, what do you know about the person? Because, you see, love must be head over the head, it must be head over the heart instead of heart over head. Because many of us, we're just excited by these hormones raging within us. No, but the head must guide us. That's why even issues of salvation, God says, come, let's reason together.
Yeah.
So it should not just be an emotional issue. And so it is in the issues of relationship. That one should not just be emotional about such. And then we address issues of dating. And, you know, if you look into what is happening in the dating market, you realize that most of what teaches us about dating is movies, is television, is novels.
And much
of that is corrupted, because you look into a movie, people are going for the first date, they come back, they stand outside, they hug, they kiss, then they go inside, suggesting to us that people can sleep together even on the first date. So already you can see that this curriculum that we're having out there on dating, it is corrupted.
Exactly.
And, you know, dating, many people fail to realize that there is no marriage guaranteed, because if somebody does not propose marriage, when we talk of dating, then they don't owe you marriage,
yeah,
if they didn't propose.
Exactly.
I was having a couple that came to see me last year. They had been dating for 16 years.
Yo.
16 years.
1 6.
And 1 6.
Yo.
1 6.
Yeah.
And now they were separating, whatever, because they did this and they tried cohabiting and whatever, whatever. So we are trying to say to the young people in the book, go beyond dating, look into courtship, look into, see, the idea about dating is that I'm looking for somebody who over time, maybe they can become a spouse. But
yeah,
when courtship, we say, you are looking for a husband or a wife,
okay,
who in the meantime can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Okay.
So you start with the end inside. So in courtship, as we try to define here, we don't propose marriage, because from the first day we start.
Okay.
I was looking for a husband. I was looking for a wife. And what people fail to realize, there is a great disconnect between our dating curriculum and marriage.
Okay.
And I'll try to explain.
Yes, please.
You see, a very good boyfriend might never make a good husband.
Ouch.
And a very good girlfriend might not make a good wife.
Mm.
You see, look into the disconnect that is happening. So you meet a girl and she says, "I love you," and she, "I love you too." And it is this romantic thing that is raging in them.
Mm.
But if you are planning to get married, I say to young men, read Ephesians 5:25. It says, you know, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. And the word used there is agape. So I say to young people, if you don't understand what agape is, don't propose marriage to any young lady. Don't even start a relationship, because agape is a selfless, self-sacrificing love, unconditional love, which loves the worst of sinners.
Mm.
And that means, a young man should be able to say, "I will love you even if you don't cook."
Despite the conditions that are there.
Yes, it's not conditions that you... I will love you as long as you still have your makeup.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... So many a times when they say, "I love you," they're not talking about this commitment of agape. Secondly, on the other hand, you know, Ephesians 5:23 says, a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So that means when a young lady says, "I love you too," deep inside her heart, she should be saying, "I have evaluated you. I found you to have leadership capacity. I think you can lead me.
And I will submit to it."
Yes, I will. Yeah, exactly. Ephesians 5:22 is a submit. So that means, and you know, the people in marriage are telling us today that I can't submit. Submission is oppression. But the Bible does not say submit to any man.
Yeah.
It says wives must submit to their husbands.
To their husbands.
That means in dating, as a young lady, look at this guy. Is this a person I can submit to?
Yeah. It doesn't say submit to them now, because they're not your husband.
Yeah. But also the fact is that you are preparing for the future.
Yeah.
So you see, if you look for figuratively, if I am short, not physically, figuratively, submitting to me, you will need to crawl.
Okay.
If I am tall, submitting to me, you means you can walk freely.
Okay.
Because I am tall. So don't agree to have a relationship with a guy who is short. Figuratively, not physically.
Figuratively, guys. Yes.
So that, because now you're going to tell us that I can't submit to him. But it was your choice.
Yeah.
And sure. And if you look at it closely, if a guy loves me like Christ loved the church, submitting to a guy who loves me like Christ loved the church should be easy.
True.
So I must be able to choose. So these are the decisions that are supposed to be made in dating. But we are not making them. So somebody says, "I love you," and "I love you too," it's romantic. And look at what some of the things that we address here is the issue of sex before marriage and all of those things. But many people, apart from what the Bible says, you know, that it mustn't be done and whatever, I'll give you one challenge, is that when people are sleeping together in before marriage, it makes them think that they are in love.
Okay.
Whereas all they are having is a physical thing, not anything that is true love.
Okay.
So their physical attraction makes them to think they are so much in love.
Clouds their decision making.
It clouds their decision because all they have is physical.
Hmm.
But if you look into marriage, we talk about intimacy. But it's not just the physical intimacy. We're talking about intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy. So if you come in here with only one-sided view, which is physical, hey, are we going to have spiritual intimacy together?
Sure.
Are you going to be my prayer partner? Are we going to be intellectually, is this person going to be there for you? So in reality, what many people don't realize is that what God says don't do it is because you can't handle it.
Yeah.
So our challenge, and this is why this book, the challenge is this, that many marriages are stillborn.
Sure.
They're actually born without a chance of success because we aborted them in our dating period. Our conduct, our behavior, and the way we do things in dating, and the choices we made in dating, aborts any change, any chance of success. Because if you look into, many of us are just driven by feelings, just driven by hormones raging. Mm. And you remember, it doesn't start now. Remember during the time, and all of us have had a situation where you've got a relative, maybe a church girl, is going out with a bad guy, maybe a drug dealer or gangster or whatever. When you say to her, these are the things that this guy is doing, then she says, but I love him.
Yeah.
You are talking to her facts, but she's responding with feelings and emotion.
Yeah.
And feelings and emotion have zero IQ. They have no intelligence.
None whatsoever.
So you can't make a lifetime decision based on something without intelligence.
Exactly.
And it didn't start now. Remember, Samson, when they came to him and say, Sammy boy, this girl, Delilah, she does not come for our youth
Sammy
club.
Boy.
She has not been to church member and so on. Hmm. And what did Sammy boy say? He says, she pleases me well.
Imagine.
She pleases me well. He says, my feelings. He's talking about the feelings.
Yeah.
How she hugs me. How she kisses me.
Hmm.
Sammy boy was driven by feelings.
By feelings, yeah.
Instead of letting his mind to go there. So that's what we're doing in this particular book.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Maybe you can correct me on this one. Am I correct to actually assume that your book, though accommodating to anyone, but it does also especially speak, to the Christian community?
You know, here is my thing. I do counseling for both Christian and non-Christian.
Of course.
And even for those who are not Christian, I'm not apologetic to say the principles that we're going to use here are Bible-based.
I love that.
You see, people fail to realize that any manufacturer has got a responsibility to give us a manual on how to operate the product that they've created.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And marriage was created by God.
Come on.
And it is the Bible that is the manual
on
how to operate. So I'm not apologetic on that.
I let
them know from the forehand is that whether you are saved or not, but I'm going to tell you, the principles that will make this thing to work are based on the manual that came from the operator. So we are very much unapologetic on that.
I love the sound of that. Like you said, you told me earlier on that there is another one that's coming soon. I believe it's preceding this one. Maybe before I let you go, should we just throw in a little bit on that one to say, is there a connection between the current book and the upcoming book that you're releasing soon?
Yes. So this one says what you need to know before you start dating. The next one says what you need to know before you get married.
Oh, okay. All right. So the journey is going there.
Yeah. So we take you from this whole journey after you've started the courtship or whatever it is and we take you all the way to the first year of marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
So we guide you through. So it's actually part two of this book, which we are going to be releasing soon. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We are building the broader framework. It's almost like a curriculum that we're saying, this is part one of the curriculum, and the next book will have a part two of the curriculum.
I think this generation is so blessed to have such, you know, informative books that's going to help them as they journey, you know, through life, especially as they approach marriage. I was actually emceeing a wedding last week, Friday, and I must say, I was so moved. Umfunsumnelo was marrying the couple, and one of the things he says, we've got to bring back the true and Christian principles of marriage, not these new ideas of marriage that we have because of, you know, social media influence, but he says we need to go back to the original settings and understand exactly why it was designed, who it was designed for, and how exactly we ought to live according to these, you know, godly standards, instead of saying, hey, you give me one, I give you two. You know how social media is. This is no. Let's be realistic and let's be like you're saying, let's have our manual. Let's use what does our manual say, not what we heard on the streets. So I'm glad that there are, you know, authors such as you who are saying, I can speak to you whether or not you're saved, but I'm going to tell you the real truth, who's the designer of marriage, what route you need to take, and where exactly you're going, if you're going to, you know, navigate around this thing called marriage.
Yes. And it's very, very important. It was a man called Ted Turner, who the guy who started CNN and Superstation and many businesses, a billionaire. He said, after doing CNN, Superstation and other businesses, I feel I can do anything except have a successful marriage.
Sure.
So he had been married three times and divorced three times at that point, and he was just staying with girlfriend.
Sure.
Another billionaire, an industrialist, on his deathbed, he says, I will give half of my wealth for just one successful marriage.
Mm.
He had been married five times and divorced five times. And the question is, why is it that the more we're getting enlightened, the more we're getting educated, the more we're getting sophisticated, the failure in marriage is increasing? In our country here, StatsSA released a report that says 44% of our marriages are not reaching the 10th anniversary.
Sure.
So in the presence of more therapists, in the presence of more counselors and whatever, the failure of marriage is increasing.
Sure.
And the issue goes back to what we're talking about, is that many of us, we want the marriage from God, but we don't want the God of the marriage.
Mm.
So it's almost like we go into God's house, we steal the marriage, and run away with it. Like, you know, you might have noticed, if a thief comes to steal your television or whatever they steal in your house, they don't remember to steal the manual.
No. they run with it. What happens when they get to destination? It doesn't really matter at that point.
And you see, and this is where our crisis is, is that We are people don't have the manual. They're educated, so we have got managers who manages thousands of people, but they're failing to manage five people in their home.
Sure.
We have got directors who direct multinationals who can direct three people at home. We have got these spin doctors who communicate on governments and on corporations, but they're failing to communicate at home.
Yeah.
And it is all has to do with the origin of marriage, because marriage does not come from some Geneva protocol where the nations come together and says, let's do marriage, or some psychological symposium. It all comes from God.
Yeah.
And I can give you, let's say I bought a little car, maybe some Tata Indica, and I paid for it cash. You know, it's my car.
Okay.
Unlike many of the cars we're driving, which are not ours. That belongs to the bank. But this time it is my car. I paid 100% for it. So when I get home, I open the bonnet, I touch the engine. The engine is mine, because everything is there. I paid for the car. The seats are mine. The boot is mine. I can even sleep on the boot because it's all mine.
Then
the first thing I do is to open the cabin hole and throw away the manual. because it's my car.
Mm.
I can do what I want. So where I'm supposed to pour petrol, I put paraffin and water and salt and some African stuff to strengthen the car. Now, the question is, what will happen?
Mm.
If there was a little bit of petrol in the car, it will drive a bit and get stuck on the highway.
Mm.
And many marriages are stuck on the highway of life because people say it's my marriage.
Yeah.
I can do what I want. I am a vendor man. I can do...
I'll do marriage my way. Mm.
And as in, I'm a Zulu man. But you see, marriage predates the vendor culture, the Zulu culture. Mm. It goes all the way to the Garden of Eden. So you need to go back then.
Mm.
Find out how marriage was supposed to be, and instead of thinking that you know better, because you know there's a thing that says money is marriage today, this relationship with money. No, the people who have the highest income are the ones whose marriage failures are very high. If you look in South Africa, that essay also look based on income level. And also looking at affluency. Mm. The highest divorce rate are not in the informal settlement. They are not in the villages. They are actually in the suburbs and the secretive state. So it is important for us to realize that Jesus is still the answer, even to the marriage issues today. And that's one thing. So in this book, we present that truth, but we come to be practical to deal with the day-to-day issues. We deal with online dating, we deal with how to choose a partner, to deal with the fact that don't force marriage in your life. We deal with everything around there. Yeah. As I said, it's not about dating. We go beyond dating to look at the relationship holistically.
Sure, man. It is quite packed, I must say. Lumi G actually asks the next question, which I would have asked you. Where exactly and how do we get our hands on the book? Lumi G says, where do we get the books?
So the book is not yet in the bookshops, but you can order from us, and we are couriering the book all over the country. We actually have a special now for 200 rand. We also give free courier to anywhere in the country in South Africa. So what people need to do is to get our WhatsApp number and send us the details there, and then we will give them the banking details, and then we courier the books to them.
Okay. And the WhatsApp number is?
Is
078-215-5737. And if somebody misses this number and they don't get to send a text through to me, let's talk about socials. Are you on social media? Can one follow you on social media? What's your name on social media?
Yes. In Facebook, we're there. You can follow Mashudu Ravengani on Facebook. I also have a YouTube channel with over 200 videos. You can also search Mashudu Ravengani. We're on WhatsApp. I think we're also on Twitter, but we just copy what we're doing on Facebook. So Facebook will be the main area, and our YouTube channel. So if you search for Mashudu Ravengani, you should be able to get our contact. Our website is www.livingpower.org.za. Livingpower, one word, .org.za. There you can also find the rest of our contact details and so on.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Mashudu. We will probably have a similar chat very soon when you release the other one. But thank you for your time and thank you for such insightful knowledge. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time and blessings to your listeners.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.